The next session is going to be done by a team. Errol Garner was so strong, you have to have a team to present this next talk. Errol Garner, Jazz Legacy Project, and in our team, we have three geniuses of Errol Garner here. Steve, you got to tell the truth. Steve Rosenthal, four-time Grammy Award-winning engineer. His projects included work with on music of Woody Guthrie, Alan Lomax, Rolling Stones, and Sam Cooke. There we go. We have quite an array of geniuses there. Jocelyn Allen, project manager for Errol Garner Jazz Project. She's also worked with Library of Congress and ASCAP Award. She is also a Library of Congress and ASCAP Award-winning producer. And number three, Jessica Thompson, has digitized, restored, and remastered recordings from the Errol Garner Archive. And the bottom line, a Newport Jazz Festival. Here we go.
Here we go. Can you hear me? All right. Gonna just load up the PowerPoint here. How are y'all doing? Are you staying warm out there? Okay. I have it up. Here we go. All right. So, hello. Good afternoon. I'm Jocelyn, and this is Steve and Jessica, and we're gonna try to do this presentation as a group effort, and I'll start off giving you a little introduction to the Errol Garner Jazz Project. We're so happy to be presenting this project here in Pittsburgh. It's very special for us to bring Errol home. And then we'll talk a little bit about the archival project, and then we'll talk about what we're doing to present Errol's legacy to the world. So to start off, we have the title of our presentation, From Pittsburgh to Paris and Back. Back to Pittsburgh, Newly Discovered Treasures from the Errol Garner Archive. And we'll tell you a little bit about Errol Garner, who is from Pittsburgh originally, but is a well-known and renowned jazz artist who you might know from Concert by the Sea. Some of you know this famous concert, Concert by the Sea? All right, we have some Concert by the Sea fans in the house. So Concert by the Sea was probably Errol's biggest success in terms of album releases. It was recorded in Carmel, California in 1955. And this is the gold record from Concert by the Sea. Misty, famous song Misty, covered by jazz artists all over the world. And we have actually even heard some jazz artists in the subway recently covering Misty, is an Errol Garner original. Errol Garner has also been featured on a postage stamp. I don't know if any of you have actually have that postage stamp, let us know. And Errol Garner, the global star. Errol Garner traveled all over the world, performed his music to audiences in France, and Germany, Holland, and we have the passports to prove it. Errol Garner was a race man and a civil rights advocate. In the archive, which we've been working on now for the last year, there are materials including letters from Errol Garner's manager, Martha Glaser. I'm sorry, is it possible to close the door just so it's not coming in so much? Thanks so much. Okay. Oh, it's coming through the wall. All right, we'll just keep going. In this letter that Martha Glaser writes pre-Errol in 1946, she talks about mobilizing the entertainment industry to combat anti-minority activity. So before she started working with Errol, she was interested in this idea of equality for all musicians who work in the entertainment industry. And then when she started working with Errol, we have records, 22 boxes actually, of the legal documents citing Errol Garner and Martha's battle with the record companies for equal compensation for black artists. So all of those boxes full of legal documents, and some even going up to the Supreme Court. Errol was a son of Pittsburgh, as I mentioned, and We have been now working for the past year, as I also said, to look through these boxes that were collected by Martha during her lifetime and over the course of Errol's career. So starting from his very early days performing in Pittsburgh at some of the local venues here, and then going out and sharing his music more widely. So we have posters, and we also have discovered early biographies from Columbia. All the way coming back to Pittsburgh, we have discovered, and some of you might have seen in the downtown, a mural of Errol. And feel free to jump in if I'm missing anything. But these are just some of the highlights of his career and some of the things that we've known about him but have discovered and sort of re-energized our understanding of him by looking through the archive. And our hope is by looking through the archive and then presenting it out into the world, we're going to help to reorganize and re-energize people's understanding of who he was as an artist and his impact on jazz music history. Here in Pittsburgh, we have him presenting the press club and, or having his card with the press club in 1972, and then the actual card. So these are some of the treasures from the archive that have been fun to discover along the way. And finally, Errol is laid to rest here in Pittsburgh. We actually had a chance to go and visit his gravesite, and he's here at home in Pittsburgh. And we know all of this and are coming to understand his life and his story so much better, again, because Martha saved everything. Everything from his career down to receipts from when he was traveling, and he would go and have a drink, or he would order things during his travels, to what else, other tidbits from the archive. Just certain things that we know about him, Martha was able to help us better understand, and this brings us to the archive and the treasure hunt. So I'll let Steve do a little bit more talking.
I'm going to jump in here.
You want to come up here and do?
No.
No, I'm okay. You're good? Okay.
So I'm going to jump in here and talk a little about the treasure hunt. So when Susan first contacted me about the Errol Garner Archive, I went to a storage facility on 23rd Street in Manhattan and found a big giant mess. There were many storage rooms filled with boxes of tapes, discs, letters, invoices, just an incredible collection of Errol's life, which still existed. And it's part of what makes this archive so unique, the fact that all of these different assets and all the different parts of Errol's career still exist. Most of the times, the labels are really very bad at keeping materials like this. And so this is a unique situation where Martha and Errol really worked hard on getting their masters back and worked very hard on getting all the other memorabilia attached to their careers back. So the archive itself has over 3,000 reels of tape. It has about 600 discs. Inside the collection, we've found hundreds of unreleased Errol Garner recordings, performances, things that people have not been able to hear yet. There's one of our archivists, Michael, in the dusty room there trying to first make sense of how, what different formats we have and what different assets we have in the archive. Obviously, one of the things that we wanted to try to find, there were all these different stories about what happened at the Concert by the Sea. And it became clear pretty early on that what everyone has heard was just a portion of the concert. So one of the main things that we really tried to work on and discover was the other portion of the show, so that we could offer to people and his fans the first full unedited version of Concert by the Sea. So I'm happy to report that after a year of searching, we've been able to put the concert back together again, and the concert is going to be released on the date, I guess, so the 60th anniversary. It's going to be released in a really nice form. It's going to be 3 CDs and vinyl and all that good stuff. We found part of the tapes in the Sony archive, and they had been mislabeled. And so there was a set of concert recordings that hadn't been touched for 60 years, that Martha had sent to George Avakian, the great producer who did this original version of Concert by the Sea, and those had been lost in the Sony Columbia vault for 60 years. So we were able to uncover those, and with those and the tapes in Martha's vault, we were able to put the concert back together again. And then we're pretty obsessive compulsive about finding stuff when it comes to these things. So one of the things that we tried to do was learn the story of what happened that night, because if you Wikipedia it or you read about Concert by the Sea, there are two different versions of what happened, who was there, who recorded it. And so we spent a long time trying to find the answers to these things. And one of the searches ended us up with this reel that Jocelyn's showing you right now, which turned out to be a reel of tape that was in the archive at Stanford, which turned out to be an interview with Errol and his band right after the concert.
I just want to give a shout out, if he's here or in this conference, Jonathan Manton at Stanford Archive. Thank you so much for your help to find this tape, because it was really thanks to him and searching and the help of other archivists like yourselves that we were able to track down a lot of this material.
So part of the CDs that we're going to put out will include this interview that was just uncovered. Literally, this was just a few weeks ago that this showed up. So we've still been searching, trying to find all the assets that we can for Concert by the Sea. We now, I think, know the story of what happened that night. We know when the piano mic was moved. We know that it was recorded in glorious mono, and we are going to release it in mono, no bullshit stereo reprocessed stuff. Sorry, I'm not supposed to curse here, right? Sorry. Excuse my language. So that's obviously important for me as a preservation and as an audio preservationist to make sure that people hear it in the form that it first was created in, and I don't want to mess with that. So let's see. So yeah, and I think the other part of the archive that I'd like to talk about that was really fascinating, and then I'll move it on to Jessica, is that we found incredible letters and written to Errol from his fans. For example, we found a handwritten letter from Cole Porter. We found letters from Eleanor Roosevelt, President Truman. Just obviously, Johnny Carson was a really big Garner fan, and he was on many, Errol was on many, on the Carson Show many, many times. So I think that's an amazing thing to have been able to uncover these direct correspondence between Errol's fans and the people in the music business who really appreciated Errol.
We're just gonna casually go back and forth here. I'm just gonna mention this slide has an image of some of the articles that we found, and through looking through these archival articles, we were able to discover some more key facts about the story, as Steve said, including the fact that Concert by the Sea actually paved the way for the Monterey Jazz Festival. So because we had that nugget, we were able to talk further with the festival planners and talk further with Jerry Allen, who's our project partner, about some way of collaborating. And we're pleased to announce that Jerry will be performing a Concert by the Sea event at the Monterey Jazz Festival. So that all goes back to searching through the archives and finding these treasures.
Yeah, I mean, so there's going to be a recreation of the concert at Monterey that on the 60th anniversary that night with Jerry Allen and James Moran and a number of really great pianists. It's interesting, it's gonna take five or six people to do what Errol did that one night, yes?
This is another article that gave us one of our clues. This image of Errol at Concert by the Sea, well, this was the first image we had ever seen. So far, we had not found any photographs of the concert that night. The cover of the album doesn't have a photograph of the concert. There were none in the liner notes, none that we knew of. And we found this article, and we said, well, that's him at the piano. And then later, we found this same photograph in Martha's collection. And so we were cross-referencing the two. And then later, again, talking with the Monterey Jazz Festival and going back through their memories and their archives, we're able to locate the original photographer, so piecing together some more of the history. These are some more of the images that we found in the archive of Errol with some of his celebrity friends. As Steve mentioned, he was a musician's musician. He knew lots of the more renowned artists of the day, and they were his contemporaries. Here's Duke Ellington, Dizzy Gillespie, of course. This, I think, is Shearing, not Cole Porter, George Shearing. Art Tatum, Count Basie, with the hands. And then this is what you were talking about, Steve, all of the famous celebrity endorsements and the letters that we
found. Which one is this?
This is Dick Clark.
Dick Clark.
This is Dick Clark. I hope someday
I
there will
if
be...
Errol was on American Bandstand.
I hope someday there will be a suitable tribute made to him because he was such an obvious influence and contributor to the music world. Anything I can do to help, feel free to call upon me. Kindest personal regards, Dick Clark. Doesn't hurt to have Dick Clark as a good friend. So these are some more of the posters that we found in going through Martha's collection and her obsessive, compulsive, but what we're grateful for, her ability to amalgamate things that Errol would have been featured on during the course of his career, like the covers of magazines, these jazz and pop posters. This is a great Carnegie Hall poster, and you can see Sarah Vaughan, Count Basie, George Shearing, Stan Getz, and Lester Young, and then some artwork. This is a great memento. I don't know how many of you know that Errol Garner always sat on a telephone book when he was playing, and we found the actual telephone book in the archive. So that was one of the earliest finds and one of our most favorite. And then, of course, newly discovered sheet music and full scores, which I'll talk about a little bit later, actually came in handy right here in Pittsburgh. And, of course, Misty. So now we'll tell you a little bit about what we're planning in terms of presenting all of this great treasure and archival material to the world. And Jessica, if you want to chime in on some of this. This has really been a group effort, and we're so pleased to tell you that we are in talks with the University of Pittsburgh, right here where we are, about having a permanent home for the collection. And if you guys want to say anything more about that, we were here last fall for Pittsburgh's Jazz Institute seminar, and Jerry Allen, who's been a wonderful mentor to us and a guide and a project partner through this effort, was able to take the sheet music from the archive, hand it off to her students in the jazz program, and then they performed it live, which was really exciting. So going from finding the sheet music in these dusty boxes to students performing it and reinvigorating it with this new energy was just fantastic. And I'll let Jessica take it away and talk to you a little bit about the audio mastering for the concert.
Right, well, Jessica's setting up her thing. Obviously, there are deep challenges when you find material from different sources and you have to make sense of it. And when you're dealing with analog reels, this was a 7.5 IPS recording, mono. So obviously there are speed challenges and things that we really work out to try to fix. There are things that we can fix now that we literally couldn't fix 5 or 6 years ago. So I think Jessica can talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, I can talk about that. So through the process of digitizing and archiving all of the analog audio content in the Errol Garner archive, we actually discovered that we had multiple sets of the complete Concert by the Sea. So what you've all heard on the LP that came out in 1955, that's 11 songs. Errol performed 22 songs that night. We have them all. What I did when I began the process of restoring these recordings for reissue is line up all of the different tapes, play them against a digitized copy of the original 1955 LP and the most recent CD reissue of the Concert by the Sea. And I discovered right away, pretty obviously, that they were all at very different speeds, dramatically different. So I'm going to play you a little example, assuming I have this... I know I'm an audio engineer and this should be like really easy for me, but let's make sure. Look, no audio. Oh, here we go. Okay. hard to gauge how these are going to translate in a hotel conference room. In the actual studio, it's so glaringly obvious to me how different those source materials are. I don't know if that translates here, but the speed...
One thing I want to just jump in to say that when we did these transfers, we used this Plangen process.
I'll talk about it. So, I got a good example.
Oh, okay, good. Cool.
So, sorry. In the studio, it's glaringly obvious that they're playing at wildly different speeds. And our goal in doing this reissue of the complete Concert by the Sea was to get it right. So, for the first time ever, we were able to use this new technology that Steve was just saying has only been around for, what, five years or so? We pulled in the big guns for this one, and the big gun is Jamie Hovarth and his Plangen process. Are any of you familiar with the Plangen process? Yay! So the 10-second version of this extremely complicated and amazing technology is that Jamie's software can lock on to the bias frequency that exists in analog tape recordings. On these tapes, it was up at like 72 kilohertz. And it locks on to that to correct major and extremely minute variations in speed playback. So we have corrected the speed on the Concert by the Sea tape. So not only are they at, you know, at the correct pitch, but we've corrected all of the wow and flutter and warble and swish. So from a technical standpoint, what that means is all of the wave files and the upper frequencies start to align. Sonically, what that means when you're listening is the upper frequency material in the percussion starts to ting instead of swish. And the high notes that Errol plays on the piano ring like bells instead of kind of thumping or thudding. So it's a remarkable technology. It was really a pleasure and an honor to work with Jamie and have him at our studio doing these tape transfers. And the result is that the Concert by the Sea reissue that we're putting out, or that Sony's putting out, is going to sound as close as it sounded in that concert hall 60 years ago. So I'll leave you with a little example of some of the work that our team has done on an unreleased track from the complete Concert by the Sea.
Want to say is that in looking at the songs that they picked for the record that came out 60 years ago, they tended to use the more straight ahead sort of mainstream tunes and left off a lot of the more sort of artful sort of boppy ones. So it's kind of cool when you hear the whole concert in its completion, because it lets you look at Errol in kind of a different way, because I think people see him in a sort of square way. But I think a lot of it has to do with how he was presented, and this concert really helps to reveal this other part of his musical personality. It's kind of interesting.
All right, thanks, Jessica. So I'm gonna try to take you through a little bit more of what we're planning for the reissue of Concert by the Sea, which will be coming out on the anniversary, on the 60th anniversary of Concert by the Sea in September, which is also when the Monterey Jazz Festival will be happening. As part of the reissue, we're so fortunate to be working with Dan Morgenstern, Grammy Award-winning jazz writer, Robin Kelly, UCLA Professor of American History, and Jerry Allen, as I mentioned before. We're also going to be putting back into the liner notes, of course, George Avakian's original notes, and Martha Glaser herself had written about going to the concert and her memories of Concert by the Sea, so we're lucky to be able to include Martha's own memories in this. We have a new website that's going to be coming out very soon, so if you will make a note of www.errolgarner.com and keep checking back with us, you can right now go to this link and sign up for the mailing list. So if you're interested in this project, if you want to learn more about the educational initiatives, the things that we're planning to release, Errol's music, Concert by the Sea, anything else from the archive, please sign up and we'll keep you posted. That's my PR hook there. Errol Garner merchandise. I'll just keep going with this whole PR shtick that I've got right now. We have t-shirts that we are producing that actually come from original posters that we discovered in the archive. So this was a poster, I don't know if you can see, a bright orange poster of Errol Garner at the piano, and we were able to recreate it in a t-shirt. As I mentioned, Jerry Allen will be presenting Concert by the Sea on September 18th. And we hope that at that time we'll be able to give you more information about the complete archive being preserved sustainably and for the long term and used for research purposes so that we can really share the story of Errol's legacy with the world. And that is our presentation. June 15th is Errol Garner's birthday, and we'll be announcing it. And we have flyers as well if you want to take one with you when you go. Susan has them over here. And thanks to Susan and Don for all their help with getting us here to Pittsburgh today. Thank you, guys.
That was great. That was great. That was a great presentation. I love when people talk about great archives and collections that are in the process.